Jesus Christ, you are wonderful. You are a great God, merciful, personal. Oh, Lord Jesus, I could just speak about you forever, Lord. I could worship you forever. And thank you, I will worship you forever. Lord, I have eternal life, Lord. My soul cannot die, Lord Jesus. And anyone who believes in you has the same testimony, alive forever with you. Jesus Christ, you yourself personally, Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray that anyone listening, Lord, would just be convinced that you, Jesus, are the way, the truth, and the life. That you, Jesus Christ, are the only true source of peace and joy in this world and in the spiritual world, Lord. I pray that your spirit would just fill anyone listening in your name. Amen. Hello, this is Michael Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. You can find me in any iTunes search query. Just go to Michael Ryan's Booze, B-O-O-S, or go to letsworshipjesus.com and check out some things on our Messiah there. But I welcome you today, June 1st, and I just hope the Lord is just blessing you today by whatever way. I hope that he's answering your prayers, that he's revealing himself to you, that he's giving you wisdom, and he's just growing you, and I pray that you're doing okay, and I just want to refresh you in the Lord and just continue on with our series in Colossians. We started in chapter 2, and I really should have started in chapter 1, but there's grace in that, I'm sure, and we're going to just continue in chapter 2. But he is your foundation, Jesus Christ. Him alone. He's got to be. We live in a world where anything but Christ is the answer. We live in a world that is ruled by Satan, and he wants to convince us that we don't need a savior. We're okay. We can get by on other things. And it's like the years go by, it's like the more clever Satan gets and how he just does it. Even in the church, we're distracted, and that we're not preaching Jesus Christ anymore. We're preaching principles. We're preaching Christian principles, and friends, Christian principles are great, but they don't give life. They don't give life. And I'm not going to preach Christian principles here to you. I mean, there are Christian principles that come from a life in Jesus Christ, but I want you to know Jesus. I want you to feed off him, and when you're feeding off him, he'll make you to live according to his principles. Amen? So you've got to be rooted in him, and we started in Colossians 2, and we just talked about the fact that you and I are knitted together through the blood of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter when you're listening to this, whether this be 40 years after I've made it, whether it's 5 minutes after I've made it, it doesn't matter where you are in this world, we are connected by the blood of Jesus Christ spiritually. We are connected. We are knit together. That's what his work did on the cross. And in him, we are together. And it's important that you know that. In Colossians, Paul wanted them to know that. He wanted them to know that, and he wanted them to understand and to be assured of one thing, of Jesus Christ, that he is the mystery of God that's been fully revealed to all of us, that we can enjoy the abundant life. And all it comes down to is Jesus Christ. And you don't have to worry about anything hidden, because he is the one that reveals all of that to you. Do you understand? It says in Colossians 3 that in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Please, people come and they preach that the Bible has these secret codes and there's just these hidden elements to the scriptures that they've figured out. Friends, that's not true. There is no secret wisdom. There's no secret society. There's nothing. The only thing you need to know is Jesus Christ, your foundation, your rock, and you're rooted in him, and he builds you up, and he establishes you. And it says in verse 4 that it's Paul saying this so that no one will deceive you with persuasive argument. People will come along and say, oh, Christ, yeah, but you need this. And the scriptures say that you'd also need this. And that's what they were doing in that time frame. They were coming to new believers in Jesus Christ, people who weren't initially Jews, because remember, Jesus came as a Jew to the Jews first. And the Jews rejected him. And the 12 disciples were Jewish, and they went preaching the kingdom to people who were Jewish and who weren't Jewish. And so these people who weren't Jewish didn't hold to the custom of circumcision and keeping the law and so forth. And when people who weren't Jewish became believers in Jesus, and they had all they need in Christ, they went to them, people who were Jewish, trying to say, you really don't have oil on Jesus because you don't have the law. You don't keep the circumcision. You haven't become circumcised according to what the scriptures say. But we know, what did Jesus say? You search the scriptures thinking that in them you have eternal life, but it's these that testify of me. Jesus Christ is the true circumcision. He is the true the scriptures, the law. He is all of that. Jesus Christ has fulfilled everything, and in him you lack nothing. And I encourage you now. People may come to you and say, oh, well, you need to have the saints and the protection of this and that, and you need to pray with this and that, and you need to go to a priest and do this and that. You don't need anything except the Lord Jesus Christ. Personally, relating and speaking and communicating and worshiping him throughout your day for the rest of your life and eternity. That's who you need, and he'll sustain you. When you have a concern, bring it directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul wanted them to know that. And we left off in verse 8. And he already had spoke about that we ought to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ as we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we can be overflowing with gratitude because we're rooted in Jesus Christ. We know the truth. We don't have to be to the left or right trying to figure out things or being blown away or drifted away by just every new form of doctrine or new discovery. We can be rooted in Jesus. And verse 8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception. Because friends, that is exactly what people will do. I mean, he's repeating himself. He already said that to them in verse 4, that he's trying to show them that the mystery of God is Christ himself, so that people don't partake them of persuasive argument. And he's saying it again. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. You've got to acquaint yourself and chain yourself to Jesus Christ. Because the minute you start saying Jesus Christ and this and that, you really take yourself captive now. Because now you're divided. Jesus says you can't serve two masters. You're going to either love one and hate the other. You know, and that's honestly what happens when you start to make your life not Christ-centered, but like part Christ, part Christian philosophy, part Christian principles, part trying to, you know, make your life work in your own, part trying to include everybody, part that you can't, life can't work that way, because you're going to realize that Jesus Christ is going to get fizzled out. It's got to be Jesus Christ. And trust me, friends, when you do that, people won't like you for it. People won't like you. People will be blessed by you because you're going to be ministering love, but people won't like it because the message of the cross is offensive to those who are perishing. It says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. I mean, we have to realize that the message of the cross, Jesus Christ living in us, that's not something that the world accepts, because Satan is the ruler of this world. That's what Jesus says in John chapter 16. You know, I spoke about that in a podcast a couple days ago. We live in a world where Jesus Christ is not the king here. Satan is the king here. He's the ruler of the world. So if you're going to be about Jesus Christ and other things, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is going to lose out. You've got to X those things out and become about Jesus Christ. You've got to have your thinking rooted in Jesus Christ. Don't even be caught up in the good things. Oh, I need to get this financial situation right. I need to get this situation right. Please don't get caught up in that. That's good, but just bring it to Jesus. Amen? I'm not saying don't care about other things that are going on in your life, that to forget about your needs. I'm just saying make Jesus Christ your go-to man. Please. And don't be held captive through other people's opinion, through the world's philosophy, through your own flesh, through your own understanding about how things ought to go in this world, about how you ought to live your life in this world. I'm saying to you, I'm warning you that it's so easy to start feeling discouraged because you think you're missing out on something. And then again, right there, you're in bondage. Paul is trying to make a big point to people in Colossians here that Jesus Christ is all you need. You're not missing out when you have the Lord Jesus Christ. So see things according to Christ rather than according to your understanding or the world's understanding. In verse 9 it says, "For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. This is a really heavy verse to me because, you know, for people who believe that the Bible doesn't say anything about Jesus Christ being God, this is one of many, a plethora of verses that speak to Jesus Christ being God. Right here, it's saying all the fullness of deity, all the fullness of God, the triune God, dwells in bodily form. Well, wait a minute, bodily form. The body of Jesus Christ. His man, flesh, body dwelled the presence of God. A personal dwelling. Well, people can say, well, wait a minute. I mean, I have God living in me if I'm born again. But that's not the same that we're talking about. We're saying the personal, the essence of God is fully dwelling in the bodily form of Jesus Christ. The essence of God is inhabiting that body. You understand? Jesus Christ is God. He is the God-man. Do you understand? And God dwells in him. And guess what, friends? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, the man Jesus Christ, God and Savior Jesus Christ, you are in him. Yes, he lives in you, but you are in him. It says in Ephesians 1 that you have been seated with him in heavenly places. You are with Christ in heaven right now. Our life is in him. It talks about that in Colossians chapter 3. So you have to know, friends, you're in him. And guess what? He is the fullness of God. And it continues to say in verse 10, "And in him you have been made complete." You have been made complete. You don't need a relationship to be complete. You don't need children to be complete. You don't need your financial plan to work to be complete. You don't need to have your needs met to be complete. You just need to be in Jesus. And you need to be aware of your presence in Jesus and his presence in you. And that's when you'll be complete. That's when you'll be complete. People want to come and preach to you that you have to believe in yourself. People want to preach to you that you have to be motivated by your own strengths and just look around you and to seize every opportunity and be the best you can be. Friends, that's a scam. It's not true. You need a Savior. You need a Savior. Jesus Christ is that Savior, and he loves you so much. He loves you to death. That's literal. God loves you to death. He died for you. Not while you were best friends with him. Not while you were in his family. He died while you were still an enemy. While you were still spiritually sticking your middle finger up to God. He came down and died to you. I know that's a blunt way to say it, but I'm being honest with you. While you were just completely evil to the Lord, he died for you, an enemy to him, and he died for you. He loves you so much. Don't be tripped up with people being persuasive. Oh, well, are you trying to tell me that if I don't, so many innocent people in the world are going to go to hell because they don't believe in Jesus Christ. Again, don't get caught in the persuasive arguments. The persuasive arguments of people. Oh, well, then how's that a fair and loving God? If people who haven't even heard of him, innocent people, there is no one who's innocent. If people were innocent, God wouldn't have died. He died because we're not innocent. We're not. You have to teach a child to be good. You don't have to teach them to do bad. Children come out of the womb snatching and crying and caring about their own needs. You have to teach them to be considerate. We're not innocent, friends. We're not. You're not innocent. You're not. And he saved you. And you're not capable of pleasing God. Because your life is going to automatically come down to what you want to do because you're a sinner, because I'm a sinner. We're bent towards sin. Until we get our new bodies, our new spiritual bodies, we're bent towards sin and trying to make our life work apart from him. You need Jesus Christ. You need him, friends. You need to be filled up with him all the day long. And if you're not, just repent and start there. That's how good he is. But you're complete in Jesus Christ. You are made complete. You're perfected. And guess what? He is the head over all rule and authority. No one can take this away from you. No one can take this abundant life. No one can take this mystery. No one can take this goodness from you, this truth, because he's ahead of any rule or authority that exists in both the physical realm and both the spiritual realm. You don't have to be afraid of anything because of Jesus Christ. Friends, that's a really good message. I'm going to stop right there. We only went two verses or three verses, but it's still good food for you, friends. Please don't be deceived, because the minute you start to make your life other than Jesus Christ, the minute you start to worship anything else, to get excited about other things, you're going to make yourself in bondage. You're going to put yourself in captivity. You've got to be getting yourself into the mode of worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, listening for him, attuning your ear, your spiritual ear, for the voice of your shepherd. He's the shepherd of your soul. Did you know that? It says that in 1 Peter or 2 Peter. You can go look into that. 1 or 2 Peter, he's a shepherd of our soul, the overseer of our soul, the bishop of our souls. Listen to him. He speaks to you. He will speak to you. He'll put things in your heart. He says, "My sheep know my voice." They don't listen to a voice of another. You're going to know the voice of your Lord and Savior, Jesus. Open up your heart to him. He's knocking all day long. And worship him. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of worship. And I'm telling you, if you're doing those things, you're setting your life up to be an abundant life, honestly. If you're getting in that habit of giving Jesus Christ his glory and looking unto him, of realizing that you can't produce any Christian principle on your own, you can't do it. You can't produce joy, peace, patience, kindness, love. You won't do it. You can't do it. And if people preach to you Christian principles and that you can just do it and try harder and you're not being a good believer, just walk away from that, friends, because the answer is Jesus Christ. The life is Jesus Christ. He says, "Abide in me." He doesn't say bear fruit. He says, "Abide in me and you will bear the fruit." The starting place is Jesus Christ. It's got to be Jesus Christ. So just get back to him, and if you're grounded in him, if you're rooted in him and being built up and established in Jesus Christ, no matter what storm comes, and a storm will come to you. And that's not because I'm some type of prophet. It's because Jesus already said that. In this world, you will have trouble. But what does he say? He says, "Take heed, I've overcome the world." Now that's not good news. He says, "Be cheerful, I've overcome the world." That's not going to be refreshing to you if you're not in Jesus. The fact that Jesus overcame the world is not going to be refreshing to you when you get trouble in your world, unless Jesus is living in you and you are living in him and you are being aware and walking in that. Other than that, it won't work. So Jesus Christ has to be your foundation. Please, please don't let anything else be your foundation. Be praying to him and seeking him. And if you go a good portion of your day and you realize, wait a minute, I haven't been worshiping the Lord, that's okay. Just repent and go right back to worshiping the Lord. Worship your Savior. Oh, he enjoys it. He loves it. He absolutely loves it. He absolutely loves it. Okay? So he's your foundation. He's your rock. And enjoy him, friends. Okay? I love you in the Lord. Jesus, I pray that you're blessing anyone listening to this, that you're drawing all to yourself as you're being lifted up, Lord. I pray that, Lord, that you're pleased with this ministry, Lord, to lift you up, that people would only see you and nothing else, Jesus. Nothing else, Lord. You are good. You are holy. You are kind. You are sweet. And we worship you, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us guidance, Lord. Answer our prayers. Perfect our concerns, Lord Jesus Christ. We need you, Lord, to walk on this earth, Lord. We're not citizens of this earth, Lord. We're citizens of heaven. So, Lord Jesus, we praise you and we need you, Lord. You are our foundation. You are the rock that we are to be built upon, Jesus Christ. And your name, your holy name, we praise you. Amen.